Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. All right, we're going to start off with, so I know we took off last week, so there's going to be a little bit of catching up going on. First thing I wanted to do, Wreck-It Ralph came out. Wreck-It Ralph breaks the internet. And at least Lindsay and I have seen it, so I want to do the quick spoiler-free review. Just knock that out real fast. I think it's full price.
Yes, I agree.
Worth seeing. Really, really good.
I will say there are a few moments that are slow, but it's fine. Just move past it and stay all the way to the end of the credits.
I didn't.
Oh, you poor thing.
You actually meant to ask what happened after the end of the credits.
I'll tell you later.
All right, cool. Since
it's spoiler free, but stay till the end of the credits. It's worth it.
Fair enough. I don't remember why I had to leave, but I was in a hurry to get out of there.
To be fair, there are a lot of credits.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah, no, those...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those animated movies have, like, a million
massive
people
teams
to work on a single character's walking animation.
Yeah. Yep. Whenever you have three people working on the eyelid blink, it's going to be a long time.
Also, the princess bit was everything
great.
I wanted it to be.
I know. Mm-hmm.
It was so good.
I just like the part with Merida.
Yeah, we have no idea
what
she's
saying.
Saying.
She's from the other studio. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to go watch this.
It's really
it was good.
I liked the first Wreck-It Ralph a whole lot. It's just it's hard to get into the movie theaters right now.
Basically, I go early in the morning, like usually Saturday or Sunday. I'll wake up at like 9 a.m. and I'll look and see like if there's any movies I want to see showing, and mm-hmm. I'll just go see it. I would have done that this morning, but I had other plans with family because I need to see Creed 2.
I was really thinking, be like, I need to see my niece I haven't seen in a while. No, I need to see this movie.
No, I did
Jesse,
that this morning.
Jesse, you're my favorite human.
I saw my niece this
no,
morning.
No, but like,
Creed 2.
I thought you were going to say, like, explaining why you went to go see your family instead of Creed, but then you're like, no, but I also need to see this movie.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, there's a horror movie that came out that Shannon wanted to see, but I told him we have to pay rent, so no.
Yeah.
Also, I don't need to cry again.
With?
Creed?
Yeah,
like Creed 2 is going to make me bawl.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Because Wreck-It Ralph won't.
No.
Oh, for real? Wait.
It made Shannon cry.
Oh, really? Well.
Yeah, the message within
it. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, if Shannon cried.
It got a little too personal for him.
Oh, okay.
Why.
Yeah, no, I could absolutely see why. I could see what happened.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's
it
interesting.
It was good. And it has the best musical ever.
No, it was pretty fantastic. Overall, I just really, really enjoyed this film. If you hated the first one, this is probably just a miss anyway. So don't worry about it. But yeah, no, it's absolutely worth seeing in theaters.
Are there people out there who hated the first Wreck-It Ralph? Like, it's not my favorite thing Disney's done, but it's good.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, there exist people that hate everything.
Yeah.
Because we are on
That's
the internet.
Fair.
Yeah. I don't know.
But go watch it. It's a good fun time.
It's a grand old time. All right. So now from there to bad news. So Netflix, a lot of news out of there. We're going to start out not great. Canceled Daredevil officially.
I'm not allowed to cuss.
Gave us the same little bit like that your horned hero is not done, but he is done on Netflix.
So here's the thing. Everyone keeps saying, like, oh, well, all the seasons are just going to pick up on Disney Plus. They're not at all.
It's going to have to be a complete different
even
group.
Remotely. Disney executives have already said that Disney Plus is going to be purely like PG. Like, this, there's no mature rated content.
Yeah.
The seasons that we've gotten will probably stay on Netflix.
I thought
but
Disney Plus was going to do
more.
PG-13. Basically, the way they've done the MCU.
They're not doing hard R.
No, they're definitely not.
They're not doing what we've gotten with any of these other shows.
Right.
They have no interest in bringing those over, and apparently, I don't know what the deal is with the contracts are, but apparently that's going to make it like super difficult if they even wanted to. The little message of, oh, the adventures will continue, they very much mean you can still read the comics. You can go back and rewatch these on Netflix, or they're going to bring these characters in some other form, be it a Disney Plus version that's not going to be near as good because
yeah. And it's not going to have the same cast.
Yeah. So that's it's dumb. I get it because it's Disney and they want their own thing.
Mm.
But I'm so mad because like one of the writers was like, we're in the pitch, we're in the writer's room right now brainstorming our pitch for season four, and holy crap, have we got some awesome stuff.
Nope, too
and
bad.
And then, like, they 1 week season later. Four, yeah, panned out, and yeah. then they pitched it to Netflix, and yeah, canceled.
Which, again, I don't think this was Netflix's call, even remotely.
No, because I know their contract, there's a lot of stuff we don't know about a lot of things with this, mm-hmm. so it's really early for us to say, like, anything concrete. More than most likely, it's not going to be picked up. If we see any new Daredevil content, it will not have the same cast. It will not be the same or what it was.
It won't be
on
the
Netflix.
Same universe. Like I get the feeling that if we get something like Defenders or Heroes for Hire on the Disney Plus service, it will in no way tie in to
what we've gotten.
What
on
we've already gotten on
Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to pretend pretty much that that didn't happen.
Yeah, they're going to Spider-Man.
Their advantage that it's been out and people are aware of it that may not have been before.
Right.
We're going to get Daredevil Homecoming.
Yeah, exactly. And it works out because nothing in the MCU has even closely mentioned or come close to mentioning Mm-mm. the street heroes from the Netflix series. So yeah, they can get away with that, and I imagine that was probably Disney's plan from the start. It's kind of upsetting, but whatever. Like, I know the way those contracts work. One thing that we're pretty confident about is that Netflix had that contract with those properties for X number of seasons of content. And likely Jessica Jones and Punisher, Jessica Jones season 3, Punisher season 2, are the last two seasons they can make.
Yeah.
Those are my guess on that contract, and Disney wasn't going to let them renew.
Right.
Likely they're going to bring all of those heroes into the MCU somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost certainly will not be with the Netflix stuff unless, and this is also inside the realm of possibility, Disney decides they're okay with that content, like in like a more mature section of Disney Plus, maybe.
I see, and I don't
see it happening.
I don't think that's going to happen, like even a little bit.
I don't think so either, but I'm saying like it could happen.
I mean, lots of things could happen.
Right.
This won't happen.
And this behind the beaded curtain of Disney Plus you can go watch. That was the joke that I was playing in my head, just like, that's funny.
Fair. So yeah, no, it is possible that Disney's going to shell out a whole bunch of money to Netflix to get that content, because that's the only way that it's going to happen, because contracts can be amended, they're just paper.
Mm-hmm.
As long as enough cash is thrown around and both parties agree, which Disney, as we all know, has more than enough cash to throw around.
Mm-hmm.
So especially AT&T is apparently selling their Hulu stock, and if they do that, then that makes Disney's control in Hulu even bigger.
That's the only small, like, world after all.
And that's the thing that blows my mind, is that
it's
these shows were
lawsuit on the way.
These were Netflix shows, not Hulu shows.
Yeah. And like Runaways is still going, like, mm-hmm. it's about to get another season. They're happy with that, and apparently they're going to link in Doctor Strange somehow in the second season.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still, yeah, because it just got renewed for
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got renewed for another, or before the sixth season released, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got renewed for a seventh season.
Okay.
They are that confident in the abbreviated sixth season mm-hmm. that they went ahead and renewed it for a seventh.
Guys, we're gonna nail it.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's one, like I've talked about before, the mouse wanted Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to happen. Like, the network, ABC, I think, wanted to cut that.
Which is insane. Why? Why are they so gung-ho on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like, they could just bring Coulson back to the main, which, spoilers for season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Coulson's not dead.
You could just bring Coulson back into the MCU and not have to worry about this, which, again, in no way is ever mentioned in any MCU property. Like, they don't talk about, like, nothing suspicious going on here.
Yeah.
No one cares about any of this.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff that's just... Because at least with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though, they have linked in. Like, Nick Fury has been there. They've linked in.
I'm talking, like, because Defenders did the same thing, where, like, they mentioned the MCU.
Right.
But at no point did the MCU acknowledge that. That's just a one-way mirror.
Right. But, it, like, the difference that I was pointing out is that nothing from the MCU ever entered the Netflix series. They just mentioned the incident in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And other than that, like, I don't Nothing. Even think they ever mentioned Sokovia.
They did.
They did?
Yeah. Okay. I think it was in Jessica Jones season 2.
Yeah, I didn't remember them mentioning at some Sokovia
like
at all,
I remember them at some point talking about
the Sokovia Accords.
Because that was like Jessica Jones didn't want to become a hero because something, it was something like that. And it may not have been Jessica Jones, but I remember the Sokovia Accords being mentioned.
That's I could see that happening. I just don't remember it.
It might have been Luke, it might have been Luke Cage. I don't remember. Anyway.
But the difference being obviously with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
that Nick Fury showed up twice.
Yeah, Nick Fury has showed up, Maria Hill has showed up. They've frequently, like anything that happens in the movies has some amount of impact in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If not downright spoils.
Yeah, right.
One or the other.
Yeah, no joke. So yeah, that's at least the difference there. Disney definitely cares a whole lot about more than that, likely because they expressly own that property.
Right.
As opposed to the Netflix stuff, which they signed that contract back when they thought they were going to use Netflix as their streaming service. Yeah, they were just going to stream all of their movies there and let Netflix produce these shows there.
But oh, hey, we can make our own.
Right. And then they're just like, eh, yeah, we're just going to go ahead and give Netflix the good old shaft.
They saw WB and like, we can do DC Universe. And Disney's like, wait a minute, we do everything else better than them. We got this, guys.
And in fairness, Disney Plus likely will be significantly better than DC Universe.
Man, you ain't joking.
That's the real bummer about it. Like, I'm upset about Disney Plus, but I'm still going to get a subscription.
Yep.
It just means that we're going to have to trade email codes.
I'm fine with that.
Sweet.
I mean, no, he's going to pay for his own, Mickey. Don't worry about it.
No, F you. You know how many times I've bought Kingdom Hearts? That mouse has gotten enough from me.
That mouse has never gotten enough from you. He's never done.
At all. Like, not even close.
I also apologize for the harsh letter I used.
Yeah, Mickey's not done until he enters public domain, and we all know that ain't happening. Disney's gonna find a way to keep that from happening again.
Money.
It's like a hard.
No, they have the way. They Cash. Know the way. Money and politicians who can be bought for money.
It's like a really rich white dude getting put into general population at a jail. I'm just like, that ain't going to happen. It ain't happening at all. Mickey's like, I'm staying out of that general population.
So anyway, that's Netflix stuff. We do have some good news coming out of Netflix.
I'm just so bummed. Like legitimately, because like, these were so good. I know a lot of people, like Iron Fist season 1 was what it was. And like the ending of Luke Cage season 3.
Two,
yeah, sorry. Again, like not my favorite thing. But these were such good shows with such amazing performances, especially Daredevil.
And Jessica Jones.
And Jessica Jones, but I mean, like, I can't think of a single, weak link, because I wouldn't say that Jessica Jones had, like, a weak link. But there were characters that it's like, okay, I get it, you're doing a thing, whatever. Everyone in Daredevil mattered.
Yeah.
Every season. And they were portrayed phenomenally between Matt, Foggy, Karen, Ben, Fisk. I'm totally blanking on Karen's boss's name in season 2 and 3.
Oh.
At the Bugle.
Yeah, because it's not what's his name, because he actually died, which is weird. They should not have killed that character, but Ben, whatever his name was.
Well, for spoilers, I wasn't going to say it, but.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. It's a season 1 spoiler. It's been out for years.
It's a pretty significant one, though.
I know who dies. If I know.
Yeah. But just like, it was so. Vincent D'Onofrio deserves an Oscar. And I know this is a TV show, and that's for movies. He deserves an Oscar.
It's a really
every
award.
Because he was so good. Every time
in
he
all
was.
All three seasons.
Every time he was on screen, you could not look away.
Yeah, he commanded it. Like, it was fantastic. Did you ever finish season 3?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because, oh my God, season 3 was so good.
Yeah. The thing that bums me out, because, like, I've only seen season 1 of Daredevil, but just, like, I know when that stuff dropped, because you guys were so excited about it, and then just to hear that weekend-long race of, well, I've gotten halfway through. I have 2 more episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
I show up Sunday, it released on Friday, and it's just like, oh no, I finished it last night. It's like, I applaud you guys. I can't.
All because 13 hours of programming.
Yeah.
That wasn't a choice.
No.
Sometimes you just have to keep going, because where it stops is like, no, I need to know.
Yeah. And that's what those Marvel shows did better than, is like they were just so bingeable, because you did not want to have to wait.
Right.
Like, you could not wait.
We would have to force ourselves to stop, because I'm like, okay, I have to go to bed, because I have to get up at 6 a.m. oh, one more episode.
So, yeah. Right, and now it's like 3 a.m. Like, I've got to be up in 3 hours. Let's. All right.
I might as well watch the next 3 episodes. I'm not going to sleep anyway.
Because, yeah, we know, like, so Punisher is definitely happening, and then Jessica Jones season 3 is in production now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those, like you said earlier, those are going to be the last. Look for those to be canceled.
After they're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be the last.
Once they release, probably about a week after, it'd be like, oh, well.
Yep, that'll probably be the last of the Marvel Netflix
relationship,
which is just a real bummer because even the weakest of those shows was still entertaining to watch, and it's such a bummer, and I'm upset about it. But Disney, Netflix did give us some good news. We got some news, especially for our anime fans out there, especially old school anime. Ultraman got a trailer. Which, when was the last time you guys heard anything from Ultraman?
A long time ago.
First time I've ever heard Ultraman.
You don't know Ultraman?
Excuse you. Ultraman, they just did, I'm completely blanking on the name of the...
Ready Player One?
Forever Evil.
Oh.
The DC giant event where all of the heroes who are actually villains, because that was Superman's alter ego, was Ultraman. I'm doing a bit, Dalton.
I know you are.
Dalton, Google a picture of Ultraman. You've seen him before.
Okay, yeah. I'm on it.
He's kind of reminiscent of the Rocketeer. You might remember that.
Isn't he like one of the like OG kaiju?
Yes.
Yep.
Because like I know the character. Like I understand when it's referenced, but I don't know anything about its legitimate like history.
Yeah, I know it. I never really cared, to be honest.
Yeah, it was just an old school like TV show fighting monsters and stuff.
But he paved the way for other stuff in the future. So.
Right.
This is one of those where it's like, I really wish Shannon was here, because I guarantee you he knows way more about Ultraman than anyone should.
Honestly, I don't know if he would.
Because it eventually ties into Godzilla.
Yeah.
Either there has been an Ultraman Godzilla.
I mean, he's the one who told me about it first.
Fair enough.
In all honesty.
Because there has been, I'm pretty positive, a crossover with Ultraman and Godzilla.
And right. Then he was upset that I didn't have much of a reaction. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
I'm honestly surprised you didn't have a bigger reaction to it.
It's not really my thing.
Fair enough. So Dalton, Ultraman?
I mean, I may have seen him before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget how young you are.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I'm not Steven bad, but like,
so the only thing I don't like about this, though, it looks like it's animated in that like Netflix anime 3D style, like the Knights of Cydonia and what was the other one they did?
I don't know. I don't watch them because they look gross.
Yeah, it's,
I have no idea which. The only anime from Netflix that I can think of is Castlevania.
And I know that doesn't
really count, and that's also not what you're talking about.
Nope. Basically, it's kind of like computer-generated anime. Like, it's that anime style, but it's all CG, so it's kind of like...
Ooh, wow, that was bad. Hmm. Is that kind of what, like, the two Dragon Ball Z movies did?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I knew whenever they did a Resurrection F and...
Yeah, I mean, they had, like, there's a lot of, like, animation styles out there with, like, computer assistants. But these are straight up like
CG, but in an anime.
It's like those '90s MTV cartoons, except if they got it right.
Right.
Like if the technology caught up with what they were wanting to do.
That's legit. Actually, okay, kind of so cool looking
like,
though.
It's more like video game cutscene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's because it's got
choppy.
Exactly. Like they have a problem with frame rate doing that kind of stuff. Like either it's always either too smooth or not smooth enough. And it's just it always looks jittery, even when it's like too smooth.
See, but is that and I'm not asking this to be difficult. Like, this is a genuine question. Is that not what they're going for? Like, isn't
there's
that,
a good possibility? Kind of like how
like that's a
Ninja
design
Turtles
choice.
Was CG, but they made it choppy, so it looked like it was stop motion.
Yeah.
And honestly, it might be. Like, it's just one of those things. And then there are people that like those animes that I mentioned that have like that kind of style. I'm just not one of them. It's a personal preference.
Yeah.
But something else that I'm really, really excited about coming out of Netflix
here.
Live action Cowboy Bebop.
Yes.
Like I've mentioned before, especially on the Thursday show, me and Lindsay have talked about this several times, and Shannon, Cowboy and Mandy, all four of us really like this show.
Cowboy Bebop is an essential for anyone.
Yeah. Like it's just it is an anime, but anybody can watch it. It's incredible. The music, the action, like it's all just
so
good.
It has so much potential as a live action.
And yeah, no, I'm really, really excited about this because it's one of those things like Cowboy Bebop was one of those anime where like nothing overly goofy ever happened. Like you never got the like people falling over with like the crazy eyes and all that stuff.
Like you had insanity in there, but it was plausible insanity.
Right. Like, it was never, you know, the overly cartoony stuff. Like, it was a very serious anime with a little bit of comedy, but mostly very serious and really, really good.
Mm-hmm. I need to find the actual way he worded it, because it was pretty great. Because anytime an old beloved franchise gets renewed, not like or rebooted, or they try to do a live action revamped, or especially like if it's going from anime or just animated in general,
to
really
live
to live action, people kind of collectively lose their minds.
Yeah. In good and bad ways.
Right. So I know a lot of people were like really, really negative, or like really down on this announcement because they don't trust.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm scared. But at the same time, I think it can turn out good.
Who's doing it? Do we know?
Couldn't find any of that information.
Okay, it's not like this isn't like a Netflix thing.
Yeah, I didn't see it like announced from Netflix. Okay. Like I said, it's one of those things. I think they just said that they're going to start working on it. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have a cast or anything yet.
There's no cast, no script, no writer yet. I think they've just been like, hey, we're doing this.
Yeah, I want to say it was just one of those things like Netflix ordered it.
I gotcha.
And so it's coming. And yeah, no, I'm pumped about it, because I know a lot of people, especially a lot of people blame Netflix for the FMA live action thing, even though Netflix
That was completely a Japan made.
Yep. And a lot
it
of
it is really funny to watch, like not with like the captions, but if you put like the audio where it describes everything that's going on it, it's a little painful, but it's kind of funny.
Huh. I'm not going to watch it again to figure that out.
No,
but
Shannon did it, because he's like, are there subtitles? I mean, he's like, is there like a dub? I'm like, no. He's like, what's this? And he played it for like 15 minutes with that on. And I'm just like, please, please stop. I don't need them to describe what the camera is doing and then what they're saying in the same monotone voice.
Ooh, woof. So, yeah, that's... Oh, that was probably like for deaf people.
Yeah,
like that situation they got going on. Yeah, it wasn't good, but Netflix had nothing to do with it. Netflix for whatever reason was the only way that it was brought to the U.S.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of like Japan is big on doing live action versions of anime.
Everything,
and it's very rarely any good. And then occasionally the U.S. does a live-action version, like Ghost in the Shell. And Netflix actually did Death Note stuff.
I liked them both.
I haven't actually seen Ghost in the Shell. I liked.
Let's just say it didn't put me to sleep like the original did.
Oh, my.
It took me three times to watch the original Ghost in the Shell because it was so jargon-heavy, I kept falling asleep.
And it was very political, to my understanding.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a lot of dialogue.
But it's slow.
Fair. I heard the movie was all right. I know a lot of like the fans of the anime just crapped all over it.
They did, but I enjoyed the film. Shannon enjoyed the film. It's a little bit faster paced. You get the same general
story
idea of it. The looks of the characters are down as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. And like, it's, I don't know. It was a good interpretation, I thought.
Fair enough. And then I actually really liked the Death Note remake that Netflix did.
I liked it too.
A lot of anime fans that really didn't.
To be fair, I didn't really like Death Note.
Fair enough. I didn't like Death Note after character dies that I'm not going to mention.
Yeah.
Like, after a character dies, it really went downhill and it was not worth watching. But anyway.
But yeah, but his I can't find the actual thing, but the thing he says, like, everybody's really down on this, the fact that they're getting a live-action Cowboy Bebop, but what they're not acknowledging is this... It's like, oh no, now a franchise that I really love is getting more attention.
New stuff.
So it's getting more attention. It can, which means that
there's, merch.
There's usually new merch. There's usually collections of the original.
Well, Funimation did that already. They re-released it in a high def and beautiful collector's box that I want, but it's so expensive.
But he runs down like all of the positive aspects of, you know, even if this one isn't necessarily, if it doesn't turn out great. It still means that there's eyes on Cowboy Bebop, which could lead to newer stuff and things like that. Because it's one that's like, it's not very long, is it? It's only...
Nope.
It's 26 episodes, typical.
Oh, so it's like
I didn't even think it was that long.
It's 24, 26, something like that. And then a movie, Knocking on Heaven's Door.
I
didn't even think it was 20 episodes.
I remember liking it when it was on Toonami.
No, it's 90s anime. It has at least 24 episodes. None of this 6 to 12 crap that I deal with now.
I remember liking it when it was on Toonami. The only thing
it's actually 26 episodes.
The only thing that really stands out to me is the one where he's trying to teach this guy how to fight, and he's just like, you just move like water. And that's the only thing I remember, because I never saw.
I liked Cowboy Andy.
Because it was always just like, I don't think they played them in order. Or if they did, I didn't.
They originally did, but they skipped like two or three episodes because of controversial content. Like 9/11 happening caused quite a few episodes to not air because of explosions and things that way. But yeah, for the most part, I'm almost positive all the episodes eventually aired. A couple of them, it took a couple runs before they did it.
I remember seeing it when Toonami was doing that weird rotating block on like Saturday nights.
So you would get something.
You would get like, okay, so now on this Saturday, you're getting Cowboy Bebop and The Big O from 10 to 10:30.
The Big O. That was a good show.
But then the next Saturday, that same time, that same time slot would be like two completely different shows.
Yeah. Think Batman with a mech.
I mean, I always saw like the parts, like I always saw the intro of it or the exit of it because it came on before either Cowboy Bebop or Dragon Ball, and
it was after Dragon Ball. I don't think they ever played it on Adult Swim its first run.
Okay,
so Adult Swim, not Toonami. It was Adult Swim.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I frequently saw the intro and outro of Big O, but it was one of those things like I thought I didn't like giant robot anime. And
they're so good.
I mean, I was wrong.
If I can like giant robot anime, anybody can.
Because it was one of those things like every time I tuned in any giant robot anime, it was halfway through and I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, 99, like 9 out of every 10 giant robot anime are heavily political.
You have to watch in order,
And yeah, you have to watch them in order.
And I don't care about that. I want to see the robots fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was what, you know, 10-year-old me was. Cowboy Bebop streaming anywhere?
Yes. It's on...
When I say anywhere, I mean Hulu or Netflix.
It's on one of them. I think it's on Hulu.
I didn't think it was on either of them.
Hang on. I have it all on my phone. I will find out.
I have the DVD set.
Okay.
Yeah, I have that too.
Okay.
But anyway, so yeah, we're going to move on from that. But yeah, Cowboy Bebop. We don't have any other information. Netflix has ordered it. That's it.
We need it.
Okay. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, another bit from Netflix. We got a new trailer for part two.
When are these anime live action remakes going to stop?
Never.
April 5th, 2019 is the release date for Sabrina part two. Don't watch the trailer if you have not watched part one, because it will spoil the ending for you. At least a little bit. I'm excited about it. I liked the first part quite a bit. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It looks like they are working on an all-female spin-off movie, which I know they have like two of the female spiders in Into the Spider-Verse.
I know they have
Spider-Gwen and or Ghost Spider, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then the girl that rides the Spider-Mech. I don't remember her name.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was like, I thought I could only, because I could only think of Spider-Gwen. But I like this. I think because there are a lot of, I'm sure they'll bring in Silk and like Jessica Drew.
Almost certainly. And I mean, there's a ton of female spiders to work with.
May Parker.
Oh, God.
I don't want to see May Parker. No, not like, not Aunt May. The one from...
The Renew Your Vows?
No. Well, maybe. So the one from, not the one that's going on now. Oh, it is on Hulu?
And Funimation.
Sweet. Not the one, okay, so not Spider-Geddon.
Mm.
Is it Spider-Verse, the one with the weird family that's like going multidimensional and trying, and with the totems, where we get Silk, where Silk comes from, that event?
That's Spider-Verse.
That was Spider-Verse.
That was Spider-Verse? Yeah. Okay, so the one where Pete and Mary Jane are married and their daughter
is Annie May.
Annie May. Okay, sorry. That's...
That is Renew Your Vows.
Is it? Okay. Because I haven't read any of Renew Your Vows.
It's actually surprisingly good.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. And it's not like I've been avoiding it or anything. It's just there's so much Marvel and Spider-Man that I
that's fair.
Can't keep
a whole
up with
lot.
Everything.
Yeah, Renew Your Vows is actually surprisingly good. For anybody that really likes the Spider-Man-Mary Jane relationship, just as a throwback for some comic book information, Spider-Man Renew Your Vows pretends one more day never happened. And kind of continues that in its own little universe. And yes, Spider-Man or Peter Parker, Mary Jane stay married, and they have a daughter named Annie May, and she inherits Peter's spider powers. And then through some tomfoolery, Mary Jane gets spider powers, not through radioactive semen like in that one spinoff, but through like some technology that was developed by. Like using some absorbing man stuff or something like that.
That doesn't sound any better.
Not to say.
That was my favorite part of, I think that was probably my favorite part of Spider-Verse was her arc.
Anime's?
It wasn't a major part of it. I know that. But like her stuff was so, and like at the how it resolved itself too. I loved that.
And they made her quite a bit older. Like, I think she's in Spider-Geddon, but now she's like 15 or 16.
Yeah, because she was only like 13 or something.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that comics don't age in real time, but right. She would be as old as she is, you know, had that happened.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's kind of neat that way. But
just real quick, and this is a total aside, did you see Spider-Man and Deadpool, where Spider-Man, to try to, like, connect with Deadpool more,
tried to take off
his mask to reveal him, but like they wouldn't let him, so it was just he just saw a blank face.
He looked like a mannequin.
My name is, and then it just went all like it was just whited out, and he's trying to talk like he's trying to reveal himself to Deadpool,
and Deadpool's like, why won't they let me know you?
They're not gonna they won't let me. And then Spider-Man tries to talk to the fourth panel, but like doesn't quite work.
He's like, nobody ever listens to me.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was good. I liked that. I really like. I'm kind of bummed that I gave up on Spider-Man Deadpool with some of the like bits that I've seen from it.
I'm not, because I feel like those bits are in between, you know,
few and far between.
Yeah,
that's almost certainly true. So Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse.
Give me more anime. I liked anime.
Yeah, anime Parker's cool. Like I said, you should just read Renew Your Vows.
I have Marvel Unlimited, so I'll
give that a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's delightful. It's not like crazy actiony or anything like that. It's just a delightful read.
Man, I really hope, and I'm not holding my breath at all because Disney, but if they could do like how I'm paying $13 for Hulu and Spotify both,
mm-hmm.
if they would give me like, hey, join Disney Plus for $2 a month since you already have Marvel Unlimited.
Man, that would be amazing.
Well, like I would Verve do that. Because it gives me a whole bunch of streaming services mm-hmm. in one.
Yeah. And no, yeah, that would be awesome.
If they bundled some sort of deal, I would
Marvel Unlimited
I would
and Disney Plus.
Very much on board.
Agreed.
Don't die.
Anyway, let's see. Yeah, Spider-Man Birds of Prey looks like the from DC is going to hit theaters February 7th, 2020, or
so
at least that's
their
plan.
It is a movie they're doing this time.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's going to have Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie's going to be in it. This is one of those movies
This is the one that it's supposed to be, I'm totally blanking on the actor's name, but I was super excited because we talked about it. Obi-Wan.
Ewan McGregor.
It's going to be Ewan McGregor as Black Mask.
Yes, I think so.
I'm on board. And to be fair, even though I hated the way they portrayed Harley in Suicide Squad, Margot Robbie did phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give her, like, for all the negative things we've said about Suicide Squad, it was never the performances.
No, yeah, the performances were all fine. It was just the writing that was awful.
Yeah.
Especially the reshoots they had them do where they tried to make, you know,
turn
Harley,
it into a comedy. Yeah.
Yeah, look even crazier.
Mm-hmm.
That was annoying. But regardless, I don't know. This is another one of those movies. I'll believe it when I see it, because we did just get information that Superman 2 as well as The Flash have been pushed back even further. They are now just maybe coming out.
I knew Flash got pushed back further. I didn't think there was a Superman movie in the, like, officially announced.
They said they were working on a Superman sequel.
Because that was the whole...
Justice League spoilers, by the way.
That was the whole, what's his name?
Movie came out a year ago. We're fine.
The guy who played Superman.
Henry Cavill.
The whole Henry Cavill, like, isn't going to... He's no longer attached anymore. To any DC...
Which, did we ever hear anything about that? Because, they had that whole bit where it wasn't coming out. And, like, expect an announcement from DC soon. And we never got that announcement that I know of.
I failed.
Not
they
that I've seen.
Forget about it.
They may have. It may have just been like, DC is happy to announce our congratulations in his upcoming role as Geralt in The Witcher.
I don't know, because I don't remember ever hearing that resolving itself. But regardless, yeah, they were obviously going to do a sequel, a Superman sequel eventually. Like, that was just going to happen, but that and The Flash both are just kind of in development limbo at the moment,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure why.
That said, I know I've been hurt before, and I'm sure it's not going to be great, but the more ads I see for Aquaman, the more excited I get for that movie.
Uh-huh.
Aquaman looks great.
I know I'm in the minority of people who enjoy Justice League, and
I enjoy Justice League.
Farther minority of people who enjoyed Jason Momoa as Aquaman. and his super over the top dude bro character.
I thought that was one of the big redeeming qualities of Justice League. Even people that disliked it liked his performance.
Yeah, but they didn't like the like his characterization. But I dug his characterization because, again, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, you're just going to not address this thing. Oh, no, I'm just impatient. They actually end up addressing it.
Uh-huh.
And then the moment with the lasso.
That was great. Yeah.
That was gold. That was pure gold.
Okay, I think this movie might have some heart to it. It looks like they're leaning pretty heavy into practical effects as well as CGI.
Mm.
I don't know if you've seen the picture of Amber Heard as Mara and the trench.
Yes.
And it looks like it's a still from the newest season of Power Rangers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Seriously.
Yeah, no, like I'm excited to see the movie. And again, I've always said Justice League was a solid popcorn flick. The action was great. There was just a lot of writing elements that I did not like about it. So Aquaman though was one of the big redeeming qualities. Jason Momoa's Aquaman was fantastic in that film.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. It's like I've always said about Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot's performance as Wonder Woman has been amazing in every movie that she's been in.
Yep.
And Ben Affleck was great as Batman in the Batman versus Superman, but the writing was awful. And then he was in Justice League, and the writing for Batman was particularly awful.
Yeah.
It was. Don't look at me like that, Dalton. But anyway, going back to stuff here. So Birds of Prey, February 7, 2020. I'll believe it when I see it, since DC has been heavy on pushing back stuff. But who knows? Disney is releasing the original Star Wars movies, redone via animated shorts. The first one is up now on Star Wars Kids YouTube channel. You can guess from the name of the channel that it is not a shot-for-shot remake or anything like that. It's more meant for kids, but it could still be kind of cool if you want to check that out. The first one is up as of November 30th, which today is December 2nd, means it's out. I don't know what their release schedule is going to be like, but yeah, my understanding is they're going to redo at least the prequels, if not the sequels. The original trilogy, maybe. Probably better way to put that.
It's very much an anime-esque looking style.
It's an interesting looking style for sure.
Do you have it pulled up on your phone?
Yeah, that's what I was just doing because I haven't looked at it yet.
Yeah, let me see it whenever you're... That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I saw a little bit of, like, the trailer for it, and it looked pretty neat. I didn't actually watch the first episode because I was busy doing other stuff today. But, yeah, no, it looked neat. See, Scarlet
Han
Witch.
Han and Chewie look cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, like, I think they look awesome.
Okay. You know, they, like, it looks like they could, it could legitimately be a cool thing, but it's also meant for kids, so I don't know how cool it's going to be.
It's going to be so cool.
It could be. I don't know. All right. Last little bit from movies and TV. Scarlet Witch and The Vision, that series, looks like it's going to premiere on Disney Plus in 2019, which,
but
way sooner than we thought.
How are they going to be able to do a show with Scarlet Witch and Vision?
It's a prequel. It happens before Avengers 4.
Or it's not going to happen until the end of the year, like, when we find out how they fix everything.
Because, nothing got fixed. Like, Thanos, like, really messed up Vision's day at the end of that movie.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't...
And wasn't Scarlet Witch one of the ones that got snapped out?
Did she?
I thought it was just the original Avengers are the only ones that's left.
Well, no, because Rocket and they're not Gamora.
I don't remember.
Nebula.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's fine.
This just goes to that whole, like, you know, they're being so secretive. You know, which one? The internet, the new meme is people complaining about getting the Avengers 4 trailer. No. Why? Why would we? Captain Marvel's not even out yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why do you want this so early?
Seriously.
There's no...
You'll get the trailer probably with Marvel.
But there's the thing that was in the group chat where it was, no, they don't. They only give us a title and that's it. Everything else is just built on the hype. That would be so much cooler if they hadn't already told us all of these things that are coming. Like, it's man, I get that they have to because they're shareholders and it's a business and you can't just be like, oh, yeah, so these movies that were great and critically loved and the fans loved, they're dead. But they're kind of half doing that because we don't know anything coming out after Avengers 4.
Yeah, as far as movies go.
We just know there's going to be another Spider-Man.
Because we know there's going to be another Spider-Man. We know there's going to be another Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well.
Question mark.
Yeah. Okay.
Asterisk.
That had nothing to do with the movies.
Right.
That had
to do with James Gunn. Yeah. Like, they are playing.
When I say we don't know anything, I mean, like, dates and stuff like that. And, like, we know a handful of things that had been announced or we've prior. Known about before Avengers.
Because Disney always has that timeline like 4 years in advance.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. We know that we're getting a Scarlet Witch and Vision series, and we know we're getting a Loki series, and we're getting a Falcon Winter Soldier series. So we know those are happening, and we know we're getting a Spider-Man and Guardians. So almost certainly everything is going undone from the first movie.
And then they did the panel where they're like, no, Loki is like super dead. Loki is like super duper dead. Also, don't forget Disney Plus for that Loki series. Come the F on.
Seriously. Yeah.
No, it's one of those things. Like, they really should have just done media blackout for all this
contradictions.
Because I do understand, like Asa was saying, like they have to be announcing this stuff to keep hype going, especially if they want to get hype for Disney Plus. They needed to talk about MCU stuff on that network. But at the same time, it would have just been really cool to not know what was going to happen.
Like, pick new stuff to talk about.
Because it's like, yes, we know that all of these characters are going to live, but it would be nice not to know for sure.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Not you actively shooting your own foot the entire time. Oh, there's another bullet. Ow. Another bullet. Ow. Another bullet.
They're not going to have much of a foot left.
Well, they keep shooting it.
So.
Oh, they can build a new foot. They have Disney money.
Right. They'll get a cool, like, Winter Soldier leg. Just, you know, instead of his arm, they'll get it for his leg.
Rocket will be trying to steal the leg the entire time.
Uh-huh.
It'll be funny. All right. So this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Stop there for all of your comic book and coffee needs. Tom King has taken a short break from Batman to work on some secret TV stuff.
Not worth. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I'm super behind on the Batman run still.
Yeah, I'm like three issues behind right now.
I haven't read like my last 6 weeks of comics.
Same, actually.
Like, that's honestly
that exact number. I have three bags of comics to read.
Yeah, that might be what I do tonight. But at the same time, I also have now hit a point in Red Dead that I really just want to like get through the story.
Also fair.
Is that good or bad?
Undecided yet.
Okay.
I'll have to see. I'm leaning towards bad though.
Because I haven't played. I have not bought the game.
It doesn't
yet.
Have to. It's a. We'll talk after.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah. He's like, it's going to be during a Flash crossover. So basically issues 64 and 65 will be handled by Josh Williamson.
Please be better than the Button.
Yeah, no joke.
Actually, you know what? That's not fair. The Button was fine.
It was hyped.
But it was hyped way. It was hyped as like this universe shaping event.
Yep.
And it ended up being a very touching moment between Batman and Flash, including one of my favorite pages in a Batman book of him fighting Reverse Flash. With the time codes.
Oh, yeah.
Of everything that he's doing to him, and just like, that was super cool.
Yes.
But yeah, it should not have been hyped like, because it was supposed to be on par as...
Rebirth was.
No, the big of Doomsday Clock.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not.
Because it was supposed to give us some like world-shattering information about basically the Watchmen's introduction to the DC Universe and all that stuff.
And we got...
A blue Flash.
We got a Button.
Yeah, we got a Button. We got hints of Dr. Manhattan, and that's about it. Like, at this point, we know that Dr. Manhattan was the culprit of New 52, but we still don't know why or how or what caused it or what caused everything to go back, which is something we're supposed to be exploring in Doomsday Clock, but it's just
delayed
constantly. Went from a once monthly to every other month and then skipping a month here and there. Like, it's really troubling because it's so good, too, is the worst part.
Yeah, like I said, I think I'm just going to wait for it all to come out and then...
See, and I think that's a good plan, except, like, the books are heavy.
I was going to say, except you have already started.
Well, yeah, definitely that, too. But the books are heavy, and I don't know if I'd want to binge it.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, because, I mean, I did that with the original Watchmen. And I was emotionally and physically exhausted at the end of reading the original Watchmen.
By the time I read the Watchmen, though, I had it as a bundle, like, or as a trade.
Yeah, that's...
So,
yeah,
I was able to pick it up, like, I kind of read that like I would read a book. It's like, okay, I'm on chapter 5, so I'll stop and come back to it.
It's
kind of like The Walking Dead, the first compendium. I read that. I had to read that in bits and pieces because it was just so oppressively... sad sometimes.
I read that original Watchmen trade, like the Watchmen series. I read that whole thing inside 2 weeks.
Whew, yeah, no.
Why?
It was really good.
I couldn't
he felt
watch
the need to torture himself.
I couldn't watch the motion comic in one shot. I had to break that up.
Yeah, no, it was really, really good. But yeah, it was it was one of those things, like, it was emotionally draining. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Doomsday Clock stuff is going to be a lot the same way, because there are a couple of issues that are just, like, heavy. Mm-hmm. By the end of it, you're just like, oh, I didn't know I would ever care about that character. When they introduced it, I thought it was just going to be a joke.
Kite Man.
Joke's on me.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Feelings? Speaking of, did you know there's a lot of hate for Tom King on Reddit?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people do not like his Batman run.
And that's fine. Like people have different tastes. I'm really enjoying it, but I think it's his tone. The tone that he writes in, I really enjoy. I think a lot of hate comes from The Wedding.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, which granted, I know a lot of people were down on him before that, but it really ramped up with The Wedding. And then, because he even tweeted something where it's like, hey, I appreciate everyone saying that none of these creative decisions are my fault. It's all, they're blaming it all on Dan DiDio. But no, it's anything you're reading in Batman is my call. So, which again, like from what I've read, I've really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the, like, I Am Bane stuff kind of dragged a little bit, but my boy's getting a spotlight, so I ain't going to complain.
No joke. Especially, like, Tom King's made Bane look stronger than he ever has.
Mm-hmm. And, so. And like I said, like, pretty much I've read The Wedding and the two Jury Duty episodes, which were fine. Like, the Jury Duty, that wasn't anything special, but when you're coming down from, like, a huge event like that, it makes sense that there would be a little bit of a...
I enjoyed that quite a bit, like the freeze, mm-hmm. Like the little freeze arc.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. But anyway, moving back here. So, yeah, Flash Rider's taking over 64 and 65 for that crossover event, which, fine. That's not a huge deal.
I mean, and that's a good person to do it to, just because, like I said, I am even farther behind on Flash.
I gave up.
I got
too far behind.
I still haven't started the Flash War, but I want to go back to it because I was really, really enjoying that run.
I loved the first arc a lot, and then it just kind of mm-hmm. for me. All right, so next, a little bit of Marvel news. Looks like for you League of Legends fans out there, which I know there are a few, even though we do trash that game constantly.
No, to be fair, we trash how much money you and Mandy have spent and the community.
That is fair.
And the game itself, I'm sure, is fine. The WWE versus NXT is a lot of fun to watch on Up, Up, Down, Down.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
That mm-hmm. I greatly enjoy that. It kind of made me miss Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, yeah. Is there a... they did League of Legends?
They did League of Legends, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because they...
They took two pros and then like four or five, however many the team is,
mm-hmm.
five people from WWE and people from NXT. They did these like training videos, and then they had this huge event where they played against each other.
Oh, I kind of want to watch that.
Tyler won in NXT, and then I Am Cutie Pie. Was the WWE coach.
Okay.
It's like 45 minutes. The actual event itself is, because I guess that's just the length of the match.
I also like I Am a Cutie Pie a whole lot.
Okay.
Also, yeah, just for people that are kind of paying attention, that is a very different individual from PewDiePie.
Yeah, no, because I was about to say, I was like, I didn't think that
did
dude
I
played.
Did I say PewDiePie?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay.
No, they just sound super similar because I even heard it, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure to clarify, mm-hmm. Especially if I'm saying I like this individual, I want to make sure no one thinks I'm saying I like PewDiePie, because I don't.
I'm going to take the audio and switch it around to... I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. I like PewDiePie. That's what is going to happen. I'm going to do that.
So anyway.
That's a game you want to start playing.
No, I'm good.
Especially with, like, me, with all sorts of editing ability.
Pre-show,
and,
homie.
So many shows that I have access to.
Now we good.
That's right, we're good.
that sounded so threatening.
Because it was
I'm
a threat.
I'm pretty sure that was the point.
Uh-huh.
So Marvel and... League of Legends, what?
Yeah, so Marvel's teaming up with League of Legends to release a comic series. We're starting with Ash War Mother. It will be a digital-only release at first. They're not going to be individual issues. Starting December 19th, well, individual digital issues, but not like physical issues. And then once it's all done, they're going to publish it in a trade in May of 2019. So, it's going to be a once monthly starting in, December 19th.
And just because my brain is off, it's a once monthly, but they're all going to feature the same character.
Yes, starting off. Yeah, it's all going to be featured around, it's going to be featured around Ash's story,
mm-hmm.
Which, like, that's the Freljord. Like, there's a lot of stuff there. She lives up north in the cold area.
Well, I just mean, like, I'm sure there will be other, she'll be interacting with other characters from League. I just mean, like, it's not, like, issue one is...
Ash, issue two
is
someone else.
You know, Miss Jinx or
Because the first, don't know any of the names. Basically, they're going to do it as an arc, and the first arc is going to be about Ash.
Okay.
Focusing on Ash anyway.
Mm-hmm. And then the arcs will be bundled as a...
As a physical trade? Mm-hmm. Yeah, after they come out.
Okay.
So, I know Mandy's not listening to this, so I'll have to tell her later. But, Mandy, if you are listening to this...
For whatever reason.
That's because we were trying to figure it out. The first article we saw, and it had just no real information. They talked about, like, this is happening. And then they talked about the digital shorts that Riot releases whenever they do character updates.
Mm-hmm.
And those are not... Like, they gave us 2 pages about that and, like, 1 paragraph that was really short about, like, what this was. So it's nice to have some concrete details. So yeah, that's happening. All right. Last portion of our podcast is brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all their social media links and all of their episodes at ps2jshow.com. Also, last Wednesday of each month is their History of Gaming episodes. In honor of Smash Ultimate, Super Smash Brothers is their History of Gaming episode for the month of November.
Why would you do that to yourselves?
Well,
not the fans, Josh and Alan. Because that is a...
massive chunk.
That's a massive undertaking.
Especially if they get into the competitive part of it, which you kind of have to if you're talking about Smash Bros. Dalton, have you listened to it yet?
Yeah, I listened to it.
Okay, because I haven't gotten a chance yet.
No, they talked about all the games. Like, it's a really good episode. I like it. I liked it a whole lot, but I like the ones that have a lot more story involved. Whether it's like, this is just kind of like, oh no, this is just a really, really popular fighting game.
Yeah,
with a bunch of like, and they go into like the games, like how it was created, but they really don't talk about they're like, no, it is very competitive, but
gotcha. Because yeah, the competitive scene to Smash Brothers is fascinating. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous how don't look at me like that. Like how much influence that competitive scene has really had on like the success of the game. Because the game came out like Melee. Super Smash Brothers Melee came out in like 2001, I think.
Ish, yeah, in that ballpark.
Yeah, and it is still being played in like the upper level, like MLG tournaments and stuff, which is just insane. And watching those people play the game, also insane.
Yeah, there's no reason for anyone to be that good at anything.
Yeah, no, look, if you're really interested, like, because I don't know if Josh and Alan went into, I guess, any of this detail there, but like the actions per minute of the average like professional Smash Bros. Player. Is they make StarCraft players look like me doing anything.
It's like, you don't go in like in depth with like Injustice or Mortal Kombat, because those are the two fighting game franchises. I like the NetherRealm Studio games.
Right.
Watching people get really good at that and talk about like frame data and stuff, it's like, okay, I kind of understand where, you know, those hitboxes are and stuff, because those games are at a snail's pace compared to Smash.
Yeah.
Where Smash, they're finding invincibility frames and like all of this nonsense, and it's just like, it's going a million miles an hour.
Yep, because in Smash Brothers, like in professional Melee, like they're doing stuff. Yeah, you talk about frame data and everything else. In Melee, they're doing stuff like with 1 to 3 frames of like error, basically. Like if they are 1 frame or 1 to 3 frames off of a point of timing, then they mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's insanity. I know they only move at 30 frames per second in that game, but still.
And what's great is I'm not going to have to be that bad to just wipe, or not that amazing to just wipe the absolute floor with Shannon.
Oh, man. I have enjoyed your guys' banter across Facebook.
The one with your shoe literally made me laugh out loud at work.
I wish that I could say that was like a bit. And to be fair, those are like super cheap, like $30 at Kmart.
Yeah.
Like just like, oh, I need like brown shoes to wear to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then that happened. I was like, son of a. And then and then like 20 minutes later, I was like.
Inspiration hit. Yeah, no. And I have. So I've played Smash Ultimate now. I'm not going to say how.
But how?
No. I know a guy and he did some stuff.
Hackers R Us.
And I was able to play Smash Ultimate. And at this point, having played both Simon and K. Rool, my money's on Asa. Like, K. Rool is real good.
I mean, it's fine. I could have the weaker character. Although you were saying, like, some pretty...
Simon is also good.
Mm-hmm.
But K. Rool, man. The more I play of him, just the more I'm like... Asa might have to fight me for a main. Like
I did love that. Excuse you. You've already got your main. I've had dibs called on K. Rool since that announced trailer, probably a few weeks before.
DDD's also really fun, so, and there's still a ton of characters
for me to try. Everyone knows my main. It's the only character I ever play.
Kirby's cool, too. I think you'll like Isabelle, though.
Yeah, I have to try out my puppy.
She's adorable. Anyway, so yeah, Smash Brothers, that's cool stuff. Moving on to the actual content of this portion of the show. So I know I've seen around the internet, and I just want to quell this for people that didn't see the much less fanfare conclusion to it. Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword is not coming to Switch. At least there's no plans for it. Nintendo shut down that rumor kind of hard. Basically, if you haven't heard anything about the rumor, don't worry too much about it. Like, at a concert, someone hinted that, like, we know what you guys really want, Skyward Sword on the Switch. And everybody just kind of took that and just ran with it. Like, oh my God, it's coming.
Even though clearly no one wants Skyward Sword for the Switch. I'm not a huge Zelda fan, and I know that that's the worst one.
I mean, it has a strong cult following. The story apparently is really good.
Yeah, you know what else has cult followings? Cults.
It's beside the point.
Bomb boy.
So anyway, moving past that, that's not happening, guys. At least not yet. Not anytime soon. Fire Emblem Expo has been announced for May 4th, 2019. I love that Fire Emblem is now popular enough that it has an expo.
Well, yeah, you need the multi-day live events to break down all of the characters in Smash.
And all the games they're going to release for everything. You know, this coming from a franchise that was nearly dead. Mm-hmm. Like, Fire Emblem Awakening came out, and...
And then they had to put it in a good game. I don't know why I'm doing this.
Actually,
I do know why, because you betrayed me on Tuesday.
I did. I'm sorry.
And I'm still hurt. It's fine.
Oh.
Moving on. If you want to know what I'm talking about, go listen to Nerds for Hire with me, Jesse, Trevor, and special guest Shannon.
The Spend King, because we're talking about spending money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, no, it as a Fire Emblem fan, have been since like the original, like, well, the GBA series, because the originals...
Because that's when it came to America, wasn't it?
Yep, which was Fire Emblem 7 was the first one to hit the States in a Game Boy Advance title.
And wasn't it because they just assumed Americans were too stupid to enjoy it?
Yes.
Probably.
It's the same reason like Mario 2 never actually came to America.
Because it was too hard for our
eventually.
Dumb butts.
It did.
The lost levels.
Yeah, it came eventually as an extra in a collection game. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, Americans aren't smart enough to play the game.
Well, that
at least
that's
what Japan
that
thought.
One they weren't skilled enough to play it. Fire Emblem, they were too dumb to figure it out. Which, in their defense, I always make it to the exact same spot every time I try to play Advance Wars. And then I'm like, this hard, get mad, I'm going to go play Pokemon.
And so for those of you, Advance Wars is made by the same people who make Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm.
It's Intelligent Systems.
It's the same style game as well.
Same style game and everything. Yeah, it's just a very different story and lore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, the Fire Emblem series is just one of my favorite series, has been for a long time. Like, I love it. But yeah, so there's going to be an expo. Because the franchise was just about dead. Fire Emblem Awakening came out for the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
And... under
Took
just
off.
Out of nowhere, huge hit. Like, one of the few games that we were completely sold out of weeks at a time at GameStop for back when I worked there.
When did you say the expo's going to be?
The expo is May 4th, 2019.
Okay.
So, yeah, that'll be cool.
I'm a little surprised they're announcing it that far in advance.
Same. I guess they really want to hype it up, make it a big deal.
Because they need to make sure that all four fans get there.
What are you wanting to see out of this? Like, is it just a mainline Fire Emblem game on the Switch?
I want to see more information of the Switch game for sure, and whatever else they're going to announce.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that they are working on a Switch game. We've gotten a little bit of a teaser about it, but we haven't gotten anything for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's going to be one of the DLC fighters in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. But anyway, so yeah, that's what I'm hoping to see, but we'll see what we get. See, Sega has announced that there will be a Yakuza announcement at the Kinda Funny Games Expo on December 8th.
Which, shout out to my boys. That's huge. Like, that's awesome.
They're getting
I'm actually really excited for this for the Expo, too, because they've got, like, 60 games worth of stuff.
I was about to say, they're getting a bunch of stuff at this one. That was just one of the big things. Yakuza is another one of those games with a really strong cult following, and people have been asking for another Yakuza game for a long time.
Yeah, so they're getting an announcement. That was a fun little back and forth thing. If you follow them on either of them on Twitter,
Because for those of you that don't know, Ace is a big fan of that podcast.
Yeah, all of their podcasts.
So yeah, that's going to be really cool. Keep a lookout for that. Something I want to touch on a little bit. We talked about it on Thursday. Bethesda's basically giant middle finger to everybody that bought the collector's edition of Fallout 76.
Yeah.
If you aren't familiar with that, check for more detail on the Thursday show. But the gist of it is the big $200 collector's edition was supposed to come with a cool canvas bag, came with a cheap nylon bag instead. Bethesda's official apology was $5 worth of in-game currency in Fallout 76.
So I don't know if Shannon said this on the podcast on Thursday, but legit, whenever I just bought it for Xbox on Black Friday, they gave me 500 atoms.
Yeah.
Like it just came in the game.
Did you...
And apparently it takes hours. Like, that's it. Like, not multiple to get... or not very many to get 500 in-game without spending any money.
And it's also pretty much worthless because you can buy some flowers at a door.
Yep. Yeah. That which is why, like, you can earn them so quickly, which is why $5 is basically nothing. Can't even buy you a canvas bag in the game.
Did you mention that the listings for the Ultimate, the Power Armor Edition on, like, Best Buy and even Bethesda's own website still have the graphic with the canvas bag and are still advertising the canvas bag?
No, we mentioned that that was the advertisement.
No, still.
Yeah, no, like that's what I'm saying. We mentioned that was. We did mm-hmm. not mention that it was that it had not been fixed.
Yeah, they still haven't.
Because I guess Bethesda doesn't really see a pro- if they changed the marketing, that would likely be them admitting that there was false advertising at play, which could open them up even more to a lawsuit.
I mean, they said that it's a different thing than what they showed. Like, we're sorry that the materials were unavailable, which horse poop, it's canvas.
You just didn't want to spend everywhere. That much money on it.
Exactly. Yeah. So they acknowledged that there was a change, but they are still advertising the original
canvas
packaging, yeah. The original canvas bag.
Because, yeah, folks, the picture is a canvas bag, and it's listed as a canvas bag.
Vault-Tec canvas.
And then people open up, and it's Vault-Tec cheap nylon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you've played Fallout, it's kind of funny.
It's along the
like,
theme.
That's a Vault-Tec-esque move.
It goes hand-in-hand with just this Fallout 76 release, it feels like.
Yeah.
Of just like, hey, you wanted a something. Too bad.
We'll give you a...
Give us money. But hey, we're going to make quirky jokes about how our games are always broken mm-hmm. on stage at E3.
I've liked Fallout 76 a lot.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like, if you guys are having fun with the game, that's fine. But that doesn't change the fact that Bethesda is just giving...
Oh, yeah, no, they've been garbage. It's the EA Battlefront 2 argument of just like, I'm having fun with the game. I understand they're being jerks.
Yeah.
Like...
So anyway, that's so, yeah, like I said, for more information about that, you can check out the last Thursday show. Which
that's so skeevy.
That was the one before Thanksgiving, because last Thursday was last Thursday was not Thanksgiving.
You're losing long tracks of time again.
I
was gonna say
am.
There's no this only just recently happened, so there's no way it was on the before Thanksgiving show.
No, yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like that timeline don't work. all right. So also Bethesda's delayed their Elder Scrolls mobile game, Elder Scrolls Blades,
mm-hmm.
To 2019. No month on that, just yeah, delayed. BioWare is working on a Dragon Age game. Or at least some Dragon Age material. More of that coming in January. That's about all we got so far.
I liked Inquisition. That's the only Dragon Age game I've played.
I absolutely loved Dragon Age Origins. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get into Dragon Age 2. And then Inquisition I bought and never played.
Mass Effect Andromeda.
Also bought, never played. I want to support the studio. I don't know why. I'm just so bad about actually playing single player games.
Yeah.
That's my problem. Asa saw the sealed copy of Mass Effect Andromeda on my on my shelf with the steelbook next to it because I pre-ordered it. I've had it since launch, folks. Anyway.
You're going to have to patch the crap out of that game when you finally decide to put it in your system.
Oh, he's never going to play it.
I know.
Probably not. I mean.
You will. There's no I mean. Unless there is like a bet that happens that someone will give you money to play it, you are never playing that game.
Yeah, more than likely. I don't know. I have gone back and played games before, but that's like fourth on the list. Mm-hmm. I've got Horizon Zero Dawn sitting there that I've never played either.
Ooh,
that's a good game.
That game's a real good game. So anyway, I also want to talk for a quick minute. I know we're over on time now about the Red Dead Online situation,
mm-hmm.
Because the beta did release and a few people here have tried it for the Red Dead Online, and I know there's been a lot of stuff with like. Currency being real wonky.
It ain't wonky.
Bad.
Yeah. Because I'm going to shamelessly steal a bit. I hate to say I told you so, so I'm going to shout it through cupped hands. I told you so! Rockstar and Take-Two are predatory on their online microtransactions, which aren't live yet, but the rate that you earn gold bars, the fact that a can of baked beans is $1.50 and you can sell a gold wedding ring for $1.15, you cannot just go and tame a wild horse. You actually have to buy a horse. You can't even just go to the saloon and, like, bathe and order food. You have to, like, they want you to go and spend that money in, like, the general store or, I guess, ideally hunting.
Mm-hmm.
It's so busted, and that's just the game economy. That's not taking into account the whole, which again, this is a personal preference. The fact that people can screw with me while I'm trying to finish a mission,
yeah,
to earn money, because there are fees that you pay in-game time. It's not once a day real time. It's once a day in-game time of stable fees and camp upkeep fees. So if you're just out like wandering around, you're actively losing money.
Yeah, that's
so
ridiculous.
So then when I try to start a mission to earn a little bit of money, I can have some random jerks decide, oh, I will have fun by stopping them from being able to complete this mission, earning no rewards. And I get that some people dig that, and some people like enjoy being, you know, that person.
Mm.
And it's the Wild West. No, that's not.
Yeah, give me some passive players, some private servers.
Yeah, because there's no private servers. There's no passive mode. You get a parlay system that if someone kills you three times, they can't affect your game for 10 minutes.
10 minutes? Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's
enough to get your body back? I don't know how
they've been
that
doing,
actually works.
Grand Theft Auto Online has been going for like 5 years now. This is inexcusable to me. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things. Like, I was optimistic about Red Dead in general. Like, I knew the pricing stuff was going to be predatory. That mm-hmm. was never a question right. in my mind. I'm sure for most of our listeners, it was never a question. But I'm very certain that there are some people that I told you so was warranted.
And even like the stuff, like when you compare it to single player, like the Cattleman revolver, which is the most basic revolver. In single player, you can buy one for $37. In online, it's $377.
Damn.
Yeah, no, it's straight up, like, the bit that I saw was just, we're sitting in here, like, with $18.99 money, spending, like, 2018
with
prices.
2018 prices, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, like, if I wanted to go and live in a world, or if I wanted to play in a world where the, oh, God, what
wage
was
discrepancy
wage
was discrepancy that high, was, I would just leave my apartment.
Yeah.
I love you, Reddit.
Yeah, no, I liked that comment a lot. it's ridiculous. Like, I might end up getting the game eventually if they ever fix this stuff, but mm-hmm. it's one of those things where people kept talking about, like, why do you care if the online sucks? The single player is great. And even Hunter brought it up, unless you're people like Jesse Kimball, who was going to buy the game just for the online.
Yeah.
If you make the online garbage, you have lost my purchase, Rockstar.
Yeah.
Like,
hopefully a lot of this seems like it would be super easy fixes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to fix any of the money stuff. You might earn a little bit more. They may lower the prices on some things because they've done that on GTA Online. But they're really, really when they the numbers that they are putting up in shark cards, they're not going to threaten that.
Yep.
Because they're going to have their whales, and it's a bummer because I very much looked forward to like playing this with like Shannon. And like going, like starting a posse and going around and doing missions and doing stuff, but knowing that, all right, we have to have our head on a swivel because every other player online is just going to be a griefing nightmare and try to hog tie us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially in the middle of a mission. No.
Yeah, no. That's one of those things. Like I'm even the kind of person that likes playing in PvP servers and like World of Warcraft
nope.
and stuff. But at least in World of Warcraft, there are safe areas. Like there are areas that you can go where people cannot mess with you,
mm-hmm.
and from
they
my understanding,
can't just take your stuff when you drop it.
Right, and from my understanding, that's not what Red Dead Online is. Like everywhere, it doesn't matter where you are.
Even if you're, like I said, in the middle of a mission.
Yeah, in the middle of a town mm-hmm. with like police officers and stuff nearby, you can just get hogtied and just.
Oh, that's another thing. Is the honor system still in the game? And say like. Dalton's character just decides to keep coming up and, like, messing with me. If I actually kill him in self-defense, I lose honor.
Jeez.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
And it was busted. Rockstar, get your stuff together. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this show. Thank you for listening. Oh, and a couple of quick shout-outs, because I told them I would.
Yeah.
First, Jeremy Taylor. So we talked about on Tuesday, Texas has become our number two most listen, or number two state with the most listens coming out of it, has supplanted Illinois for that title. And
we're in Missouri.
I know. Well, Missouri's number one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Missouri's number one.
He meant
Illinois.
That Texas took over Illinois.
All right, my bad.
Yeah. Illinois is number two.
I feel so much worse for having done that exact same thing on Tuesday.
What did you
do? What he did?
Oh, yeah. So, So Texas is our number two state now in terms of like volume listens. So I asked on the Tuesday show, I was like, all right, so if you're from Texas,
identify yourself.
Give us a shout out, because I want to know who you are and how you found out about us, because it's cool.
It's a little mind-boggling for us.
Yeah, because I mean, like, we get listens from all over the country, and it's awesome when I see that kind of stuff, but like, I don't believe it because I'm skeptical of things. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to think we're as successful as we clearly are.
Shannon's just got a server in a closet somewhere, just like it's a VPN.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's got a VPN set up. I asked all those people from Texas to identify themselves, and we got a couple of people. Jeremy Taylor from Austin, Texas, he hit us up, and I just wanted to give you a shout out, Jeremy. Thank you for listening, and he wanted me to drop his local shop, Dragon's Lair, in Austin, Texas. So, yeah, giving both a shout out. Whoever else is in Austin, Texas, at Dragon's Lair, hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/podzilla1985. We absolutely love hearing stories of people finding us.
Because yes. It's cool.
It's so cool to us. So let us know. And the other shout out we got.
No offense to
for the awesome luchador Godzilla picture?
I was going to say no offense, but this is my favorite one.
I know, right?
Because I saw that and like it legit made me giggle
at work.
It made
me smile, yeah. Like I'm like, this just made my day.
So if you want to see this, it's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/podzilla1985. I'm really sorry, I'm going to probably say your name wrong. Ciro Villegas III. Is how I think that's how his name is pronounced. If I messed it up, I'm very sorry.
But hey, message us on Facebook.
You said it with confidence, though.
Yeah,
so I mean,
yeah, well, he gave us a picture in addition to his like shout out from Texas of a bunch of like Godzilla monsters or monsters from the Godzilla universe, all with like luchador masks and stuff.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Fantastic, and I love it. Location in Texas. Because I think he did, but I don't remember for sure.
It's been a long week.
Yep. All right. No, he did not give me a location for Texas, just that he was from Texas. So, yeah, if you're from Texas, hit us up. Like I said, I want to know who you are.
Also, if you're not from Texas and you don't just regularly come visit the store, let us know who you are.
Yeah, if you're listening from, like, basically outside of the Southeast Missouri area.
Right.
I am interested in who you are and how you found us.
Even if you are in this area and you're not just like one of the people that we regularly see between like Illinois shows or CCW or like the gaming grounds or anything like that, we want to know who you are.
Yeah.
That was a really creepy way of saying that.
I know. I'm so hungry. My food is the computer issues happened, so like my dinner was ready 15 minutes ago.
Oh no.
I'm
all right, and also hit us up on patreon.com/podzilla1985. We got some stuff on there.
$1 for the pre-show.
$1 for the pre-shows. Yes. $1 gets you every pre-show we've done and all the future ones, as long as you keep paying that dollar. All right, that's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.